out of their secret libraries. I have given it to you in their own words. If you want to argue religion or proselytize somebody, go out to the park and get a soapbox. Please don't do it on this show. Okay? What does the Son's love represent? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey.
Need you to talk a lot louder.
Okay. I want to relate it to the Council of the Elders.
Pardon?
No.
I didn't hear what you said. I can barely hear you. You need to put your mouth right in front of your receiver and talk real loud. It could have in one respect, but that's not the real answer. That's kind of like the first answer we had tonight.
Oh.
It's partly right, but it's really wrong.
Okay, well, I'm going to hang up and let somebody else in.
Okay, but thanks for calling.
Okay.
520-333-4578. I've given you the answer to this a million times, folks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Does it have to do with the love of the Illuminati self, the love of man?
No. No. You're way off there. What does the sun... Remember when I did the mystery series? Did you hear that series?
Yeah.
What does the light represent? What does the fire represent? What does the sun represent? And you've got to talk real loud.
Okay, I don't know.
You don't know? Okay, thank you for trying. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. Come on, folks. I have given you the answer to this. While waiting for the next call, I just missed this. I'm going to do it right now. You're listening to WBCQ Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening. You're on the air.
Knowledge.
Intellect. Remember, they're the philosophers of fire. What is the object of their worship?
Knowledge. Their secrets.
Knowledge. That's absolutely right. The intellect, to be more correct. The object of their worship is the intellect of man. Since man is the only creature ever given the ability to think and reason, they believe that the collective mind of man is the mind of God. And through the use of this intellect, which is the representation of Son's love, through the use of the intellect, Son's love, in the winter, far beneath the bitter snow, lies a seed that with the Son's love are the use of the intellect, the perfection of the race. In the spring, what is the spring? I bet you got the answer to that, too. Hello?
The rebirth.
The rebirth or the new what?
New horizon.
You're close. You're really close. What happens in the morning?
The sun rises.
The sun rises. What do we call that?
Sunrise.
Dawn. The dawn. The dawn, in the new dawn. The spring is the new dawn, the renewal after the death. After the death of the old order, there will be a renewal, a rebirth, the new dawn. That's the spring. In the winter, far beneath the bitter snow, lies a seed that with the sun's love in the spring will become the rose. What does the rose represent? We have gone full circle now. What does the rose represent?
Socialism
are the perfection of the race. The new utopian world society built upon the ashes of the old. Wow.
The Aryan Empire.
You got it. It is racist. And they have fooled the blacks and the Hispanics and all of these poor people that socialism is the answer to their problems. But let me ask you something. Did you ever see a black or a Hispanic or an Oriental sitting on the Politburo in the Soviet Union?
No way.
No way. Did you ever see them in a leadership position ever anywhere? Did you ever see Jews in leadership positions?
Not in the Soviet bloc, no.
No. Did you ever see them commanding the military?
No.
They fooled them, haven't they?
Totally.
The Illuminati, or the sixth root race, is a lie. It's a deception. It is racist to the core. That is why the Masonic Lodge, for all of its history until just recently, never allowed a black man in its doors, never allowed a woman in its doors, never allowed anybody in its doors who wasn't of the Aryan race in this country and in England and in other parts of the world where lodges were established. They were used to foment the purposes of the eventual socialist goal of a one-world government. But when it comes to about, those people will be subjugated to the rule of the Anglo-Aryan race. Believe it, it's true. They believe they're the superior race, and that their goal is to help the inferior races in their evolutionary development. And if they're not able to develop properly,
the hand that holds the rose.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. You were right. Absolutely right.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. You see, folks, how it goes? You see how it is? They believe those races which cannot ultimately develop properly in their evolutionary path according to what the adepts of the Illuminati think they should develop as, they will be called useless eaters and eliminated. Eventually, may take a long time, but that's the goal. I found it in all their writings. I've revealed it to you on this broadcast many, many times. Listen. Listen once again, and this time listen very, very carefully. Come on. I bet you listened to that song with a little different ear that time and a much better understanding. Wow. Why do wealthy corporations support socialist causes? Anybody got the answer to that? Why do huge, wealthy corporations support socialist causes? Why do they do that? If socialism is really the leveling of the classes so that every man is equal with the next, and that there is only one class, why would a huge, gigantic, wealthy corporation support socialist causes? Why would a multi-millionaire, billionaire like Armand Hammer, who was a communist all his life, support socialist and communist causes? Why does the Rockefeller family support socialist and communist causes? Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Absolutely correct. You are 100% right. You have really been... Where did you learn that?
Well, I heard your programs a few times. I live here west of Lake Manitoba.
Uh-huh. In Canada.
Province of Manitoba.
Uh-huh.
I will call you some other time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your contribution. You were right.
Right.
100% correct. Thank you for your call. Because it is the ultimate method of control. And it results in a system whereby there is no competition. The goal of all of these is to continue to merge and merge and merge until there is one airlines, one soft drink company, one bread company, one company that manufactures clothing, one railroad. That's the goal. And if you watch carefully, you see it happening right under your very noses and you don't even understand what's going on. When is enough? Enough. When is enough? Enough. It's never enough, ladies and gentlemen, because you think it's about money, and it's not. It's about control. It's about power. It's not about money. Money goes along with that, and money buys a lot of people and makes the plan move ahead. But it's about power. It's about control. It's about the enslavement of the human race. It's not about money. And the slaves, when the human race is enslaved, ain't gonna have no money, brother. You got that? So I think you've all learned a very important lesson tonight. At least I hope you have. I hope you have. And folks, don't ever think that I'm against any of your religions. If you've listened to me long enough, you know that I would fight and die for your right to worship at the altar of your choice, the God of your choice. I don't care, as long as you never hurt the person or property of any other human being, and as long as you don't try to control any other human being with your theocracy or with your church or with your beliefs. I believe in freedom. Liberty. Because without freedom and liberty, you cannot have your religion. And if you would deny any other person their freedom or their liberty, you are denying yourself ultimately. What you are saying is whoever has the power at the time can dictate what religion is going to be practiced and what God is going to be worshipped. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I hope you do, because you will get what you give. And if you don't give freedom, you will not have it. If you are not willing to die for freedom, you cannot have it. You cannot be free ever if you are not willing to die for it. Because there's a little secret here, folks. You see, all anyone has to do to take away your freedom is to threaten what you love the most. If you love your life the most, they threaten your life, or they make your life difficult to lead or to live, and you will give up your freedom readily. You must value freedom above all things, or you cannot have anything. You cannot have your religion. You cannot worship your God. You cannot have a house. You cannot have a car. You cannot have children. You cannot even walk through a meadow in the sunshine just to appreciate God's gift of nature if they don't want you to. If you're in love with possessions, you are already enslaved. If you cannot walk away from everything that you own right now, turn your back on it and walk away and never look back and never have any pangs of regret, you are already enslaved. Because to make you bow to their will, all they have to do is threaten to take it away from you. Why do you think the American people are telling Washington, don't mess with Clinton? They're afraid that they might lose whatever it is that they have now if something changes in Washington. They don't even realize that this so-called prosperity does not exist. And it's going to come tumbling down in 1999. That's the year of trials and tribulations to begin. 1999. The government knows it's going to happen. They've already printed in advance $50 billion to pump into the banks when people go to the banks to draw out all their savings and checking accounts because they're afraid of Y2K. And $50 billion is not enough. Won't handle a crisis like that. Banks will collapse. And if your mortgage isn't paid off, you're going to lose your house and everything else that you owe on because you're in debt up to your eyebrows. And because you didn't want to stop it bad enough, you wouldn't support your own causes. And I'm not just talking about our television project. I'm talking about any cause. Liberals believe in their cause. They believe that love and compassion is going to triumph in the new socialist totalitarian world, what they call their benevolent dictatorship, is going to be the best thing that ever happened to humanity. They're so lost in their dream that they don't even bother to look at the socialist systems that have already and already do exist and what it has done to the populations which it controls. The biggest socialist system in Europe has the highest suicide rate. In England, when I was there, nobody was happy. Almost everything they earn goes to taxes. England is a very unhappy, dismal place. What keeps them together? They thrive on the glory that they once were. Why do you think they adore the royal family so much? And don't you ever think in your wildest dreams that they don't? Because it's the symbol of the power of England in days gone by. Today, England is a third world nation. It is a socialist country. They do not have freedom of speech as we do. They do not have the right to keep and bear arms. They live in a parliamentary system where the government can literally change from week to week. Are you getting the message, folks? Is it a message that you care about? I hope so. Because if you don't get the message, and if you don't start supporting your causes, if you haven't formed militias, if you're not willing to die for freedom, you're going to lose it in as little as 1 year. You see, folks, Annette was right when she called earlier, only in the sense that the world has been deceived. The world has been deceived. All of these people working for a socialist one-world government are working in deception. They have no idea of the structure, even of what it is that they are building. They actually believe that there's going to be a Bill of Rights and they're still going to have freedom of speech and all of those things, but certainly not the right to keep and bear arms. And they're wrong. There will be no freedom of speech in the New World Order. There won't be. Annette was wrong in that she thought the highest adepts understood all this and were deceiving those below them working for Satan or Lucifer. And it's not true, because if they knew it, they would not do it. You see, I know something about people that most of you don't understand. People don't get up in the morning thinking about how they're going to go out and do evil to their fellow man. People get up in the morning wanting to be accepted and loved and liked. They want to go out and do what they believe is right for their fellow man. These people believe in what they are doing. They believe it is right in their heart. They've fallen for the deception. They're not evil people. They are being directed by an evil deception, absolutely, but they are not evil. They're not doing this to hurt their fellow man. They're doing it in the hopes that this will be a better world. Never having been slaves themselves, they don't understand that slavery is not a better world. That's why I say, practice your religion if you wish, but don't try to fit it into the beliefs of those who meet in secret in the lodges without windows and practice the ancient mystery religion of Babylon. For it is the worship of man himself, the mind of man. They are atheists. They do not believe in Satan. They do not believe in Lucifer. They do not believe in God. They believe in man. Their religion is secular humanism. They believe that man, through the use of his intelligence, shall conquer all things, even life itself, and will live forever. What do you think the Human Genome Project in Los Alamos is all about? What do you think these attempts to clone animals is all about? What do you think in vitro fertilization is all about? What do you think test tube babies are all about? What do you think psychology is all about? What do you think the theory of evolution is all about? They believe that man is evolving into God. They talk about root races, and in the New World Order, the sixth root race will come to power. They call this the fifth root race. And that all who cannot make the paradigm shift to be a member of the sixth root race will not be allowed into the New Order, into the future. They make no secret of this. Read the books. Read the Aquarian Conspiracy. Read the Occult Conspiracy. Read these books written by the leaders of the New Age movement, the leaders of the socialism of the world today. Read it. They make no secret of the fact that they intend to murder billions of people for the good of humanity, for the peace of the world, for the elimination of war and poverty. So that human beings can be happy forever. They want to conquer the secret of aging so that people will not age. They will live young and they will never die. Remember the promise of Satan or Lucifer in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve? God lied to you, he said. He said, God lied to you. Remember, in the mysteries, this is just a metaphor. It is an attack upon the church. And by church, I mean Judaism. The religion of Muhammad. The Islamic religion. The Christian religion. An attack upon all of those. He said, God lied to you. You must eat of the tree, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you partake of that fruit, you will be as gods, and you will not surely die. Remember that? God is fooling you. He's keeping you enslaved in ignorance in this garden to take care of it for Him. You have to break out and realize your potential. Eat, eat. And ye shall be as gods, and ye shall not surely die. Have nothing to do with the devil mating with Eve and Cain being born. Nothing whatsoever. Those are perversions of the metaphor of the book of Genesis by people who do not understand the real esoteric message that was contained therein. By eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve became like God. They were no longer innocent. No longer were they innocent. They now knew the difference between good and evil. And what was the first thing that they did? They fell into modesty and clothed themselves with a fig leaf. Don't fall into false teachings, folks. But if you want to, and if you do, and you're not hurting anybody else or their property, I'll support your right to do it, if you really must, then I'll fight and die so that you can do it. How about that? How many of you would do that for me? I know many of you would. I know some of you would not, because you are stuck in those kinds of thinking. And if I don't believe as you believe, you would not fight and die for me. Indeed, if you rose to power, you would kill me. Because you know that if you rose to power, I would oppose any attempt by you to subjugate me to your teaching. That's why President William Jefferson Clinton called me the most dangerous radio host in America, because I tell the truth, whether you like it or not, no matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me, and many times it hurts me terribly, you will still get the truth on this broadcast. But I want to tell you folks right now that over all these years, I could never have done what I have done. I could never have taught you what I have taught you. I could never have accomplished all the research and come to all the proper conclusions by myself. I have not been alone in this effort. I have just been the voice of many, many people working in secret. Actually, not even secrets, just that the public doesn't know that they're working. Working in obscurity would be a better term, for they're not working in secret. They're sitting openly in libraries, studying federal depositories, studying, researching, interviewing people. writing reports to me, sending me reams and reams and reams and millions and millions and millions upon millions of pieces of paper over the years, which I sift through, combined with my own research, and assemble huge puzzles and arrive at the truth. And then I get on the air and deliver it to you, and you don't know that all of these people exist. People like Rick and Barbara, with whose story I opened this broadcast tonight. People like Michelle Marie Moore. People like Paul Kitzman. And many, many, many others. Jean Kimline. Anne and Paul. Michael Cottingham. I could go on and on and on naming people all night long. They know who they are. You may never know who they are, but I'm going to tell you this. If we win this battle and I'm still alive, I'm going to make sure that their hometown puts up a statue in the park of them and bring back the concepts that there are people that we should look up to, that there are truly American heroes, that there are people that need to be recognized for the work that they have done. People that I care deeply about. People who sometimes I have had to sever relationships with in order to protect them. And it has pained me deeply, I can tell you that, because I cannot even tell them why it has happened. But I have great comfort in the knowledge that they are safe, because I love them, each and every single one of them. I love them with all my heart and soul. All of them, each and every one. And for them, I would normally do this at the close of a broadcast because of Voice of America beginning their broadcast and overlapping the last few moments of mine. I must do it now for all of those people, for Rick and Barbara and Tony and Michelle and Michael and Ann and Paul, for Jim, for all of the people, all of those of you who have helped us over the years. For Jerry, whether I named you tonight or not, you know who you are. You know how much I deeply care for you and how much I love you and how much I appreciate what you have done over the years. This is for you. Nolan and Glenn. I never small farmers. For my children. For Craig. Jack and Patty.
But I've got it all in my heart.
For my Texas lady, you know who you are. I could never have accomplished a thing. Thank you. I really hate to do something like that before the end of the broadcast because then I don't know what else to say. And so I'm just going to open the phones for what time we have remaining and let you say whatever you want to say. 520-333-4578. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, am I on now?
Yes, you're on.
All right. I live in a large metropolitan area, Bill, in the Northeast.
Uh-huh.
And in 1941, Franklin D. Roosevelt, in a message to Congress, referred to the Four Freedoms. I'm sure you're aware of those.
Yes. What a deception that was. Yes.
And this is my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll listen off the air.
Okay.
I can get in my car, Bill, and in less than four minutes, I can be in the highest crime area per capita
mm-hmm.
in my state. Now this is my question. Is it freedom? If you can't walk down any street in this nation, any city, any town, any village, any hamlet, at any time of the day or night, without fear of being murdered or raped or assaulted or kidnapped or harmed in any way, is that freedom?
Yes, it is.
And I'll listen off the air to your answer.
Okay, that's fine. Yes, it is freedom. Thank you for calling. Yes, it is freedom. It is freedom. That's the way of the world. Before there was society, man lived on the earth at the mercy of the elements, at the mercy of the wild beasts, at the mercy of his fellow man. It's always going to be like that. Do you actually believe that you can institute some kind of a government without enslaving mankind and never be afraid? Never have someone rise up against you? Never be in danger of an accident? Never be in danger of arbitrarily being picked out of the crowd by the state and executed as a public example of politically incorrect thinking? Because that's what will happen. If you think that such a government will give you safety and freedom from fear, you're wrong. There is no freedom from fear. No one can guarantee anyone freedom from fear. And anyone who thought that they could, I would fear more than anything or anyone else. And there is no freedom from want. I've never met anyone who didn't want even the richest, wealthiest, most materialistic, well-to-do person I have ever met coveted something he didn't have. These are the deceptions of socialism. That was Roosevelt's deception. Four freedoms? Freedom of speech? Freedom of religion? Freedom from what? Freedom from fear? Well, we do have freedom of speech guaranteed to us by the Bill of Rights in the Constitution for the United States of America and the freedom of religion. But only as long as that document exists. Once that document is destroyed and a one-world government comes into being under the United Nations has nothing, no law anywhere that guarantees freedom of speech or freedom of religion. In fact, the opposite is true. It guarantees that you can worship, any religion approved by law. That's exactly what it says in the resolution. Read it for yourself. Does the United Nations guarantee you freedom from want or freedom from fear? No, it can't. And everywhere the United Nations has ever gone to try to force these so-called four freedoms on people, look what they have done. 520-333-4578. We still have time for some more calls, folks. We still have time for some more calls, so let's get them in here. 520-333-4578. Yes, it is freedom. And yes, you have a right to protect yourself, to defend yourself. Man has always had that right. That's a right given to all living creatures by God, to protect yourself. It's one of the reasons the Founding Fathers gave us the right to keep and bear arms, self-defense. They meant it ultimately as defense against an oppressive or despotic, tyrannical government. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, this is John David. I want to thank you for correcting me. Found in Revelations 22. Revelations 22, chapter 22. Jesus said, I have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Thank you for correcting me.
Well, I wasn't trying to correct you, David, and I hope you didn't take it personally.
Oh, no. Absolutely not, Bill. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
And, you know, David, you were right because Lucifer calls himself the bright and morning star. And it's written in many books and many of the teachings of the New Age movement and the teachings of the Masonic Lodge. It's all there. The Rosicrucians, they all say that. So if over the years you've read these books, it's very easy to become confused on that issue. And that's exactly what it's designed to do. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
I need you to talk a lot louder. I can't even hardly hear you.
I'm practically screaming into the phone.
Okay, must have a bad connection. Go ahead.
to deal with Charlton Heston on 60 Minutes.
Yet? Yes, Charlton Heston said that when Ben Franklin was asked, what have you wrought? He said, a democracy if you can keep it. Charlton Heston either lied or made a terrible mistake. I don't know which. I have no idea. I would have to sit down and talk to him first.
All right, that was my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Charlton Heston, when he was interviewed, said that Benjamin Franklin was asked, hey, Ben, what have you wrought? When he came out of the Constitution Hall in Philadelphia, and according to Charlton Heston, Ben said, a democracy if you can keep it. That's not true. Benjamin Franklin said, a republic, if you can keep it. That's a matter of historical record. Look it up. Okay, folks. I'm just about exhausted, but we got time for one more call. 520-333-4578 is the number. Got time for one more call. Get your little message in here just as quickly as you can. 520-333-4578. We might even have time for two calls. So anything, any comments that you might want to make on tonight's broadcast, you're certainly welcome to do it right now. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Fine. I need you to talk a lot louder.
God bless you and what you're doing. Just wanted to tell you, this is Tom from North Carolina. I was able to convince one of our Masonic friends today that his craft is indeed a religion, and he is thinking about formally withdrawing.
Well, that would be fantastic if he actually does it.
So he's digging into Albert Pike's morals and dogma now. And just wanted to let you know that we're out here working on your behalf every day.
Well, thank you so much.
And have a good evening and God bless.
You too.
Thank you.
Good night. And thanks for calling. That's wonderful news. If you've talked somebody out of a lodge. You see, folks, that's what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about the synagogue of Satan. He was not talking about the Hebrew synagogue or the Hebrew temple, the Jewish synagogue. He was not talking about that. That's where he went. That's where his family went. That's where they worshiped. Remember, he went into the synagogue and sat down and asked the rabbis questions that they couldn't answer. That was his house of worship. Why would he throw the money changers out of the temple if it was the synagogue of Satan? Why would he care? You see, you've got your thinking all screwed up, folks. Unravel it. Straighten that thread out. Because I'm telling you right now, the gate is narrow. Good night, folks. And God bless each and every single one of you.